This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We are very excited to get you ready for a Red Friday as the Kansas City Chiefs, for the first time in their franchise's history, open up their season on a Friday in Brazil against the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll also get you ready for the game this weekend between Missouri and Kansas. This is the first time that those two schools have played each other in football since 2011. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we are going to head down to Brazil to be joined by Nate Taylor, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN. We're also going to take a trip to Lawrence and also Columbia to get you ready for tomorrow's game. Really excited that football is back. Really excited that you guys are here with us on 96.5 The Fan. Before we get into the week one matchup for the Chiefs, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell two friends to check out the show. Yes, I'm being greedy today. It's football season. I need you to be more proactive in telling people to listen to the show. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to remember that the open of the show is now brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. I'm imagining that you are not down in Brazil right now and you're looking for a place to watch the game later today. Well, why don't you go stop by and check out The Other Place? Maybe you're looking for a place to watch Missouri and Kansas tomorrow. Another place to check out the game is The Other Place. Really happy that they are a sponsor of the show. All right, let's get into Chiefs and Chargers. We looked this up today because I was curious. The Chiefs and the Chargers have played 8 games where Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert were the starting quarterbacks. 7 of those games have been decided by one score. You guys follow the Kansas City Chiefs, so I'm not going to tell you something that you don't know. This team doesn't often blow people out. It is usually a close game in the fourth quarter. But what separates Kansas City from basically every other team in the National Football League is how they execute in the final 15 minutes of those games. And the Chargers, they have been no different. So in those eight games that we're talking about, and seven of those games have been decided by one score. You guessed it. The Chiefs just outperformed the Chargers late in these games. In those seven games, Justin Herbert has only taken the Chargers down the field one time in those eight games. The score in the fourth quarter of those games that we're talking about, the Chiefs have outscored the Chargers 85-50 in the final 15 minutes of the game. These two teams are usually pretty close. These games are usually competitive. We're talking about two good teams, two good coaches, two good quarterbacks playing at the absolute highest level. So it is expected that this is going to be a close, highly contested divisional matchup. Look at the spread. It's 3, 3.5, depending on where you get your number. This is going to be a game that comes down to the final 8 minutes, and we have seen pretty routinely, time and time again, that Kansas City has quite simply been able to out-execute the Los Angeles Chargers. This is not a fluke. A very popular conversation over the last 6 months has been the Chiefs' record in these one-score games, and there's no chance they can do it again this year. Look at the Minnesota Vikings from 6 years ago. They also played a lot of these one-score games, but they're not the Chiefs. But I think the big difference between Kansas City and basically every other team in the league is, I think every other team thinks they are going to win the game when it gets tight and contested. I think the Chiefs know they are going to win these games. I think it is a muscle that they have built up and trained and conditioned that they are just mentally tougher than you late in these games, and they know how to out-execute you in these games. And then you go back and you look more closely at how Justin Herbert has performed in these eight games. They've had four punts. He's had one interception. He's had one turnover on down. Usually what has been the difference in these games is Patrick Mahomes has made plays late, and Justin Herbert has usually been the reason why the Chargers stumble late in these games and usually why the Chargers lose these games. So I wanted to begin today's show with just giving you guys a statistic, giving you the statistic that these two teams usually play close games. The difference is the Chiefs usually execute and find ways to win, and the Chargers usually don't execute and find a way to lose. There is a reason why we call it chargering. There is a reason why the Chiefs have been to the last three Super Bowls, why they've been to five of the last six. There is a reason why the Chargers feel like they have quite simply been running in place over that exact same time frame. So I think that's the number one thing that we are talking about heading into this game. I do think it's going to be close. I do think it's going to be competitive. I am picking Kansas City to win, quite simply. I just trust them more than I trust the Chargers. The other thing, and I think this is very, very important. Some of you, I understand if you're not listening to a lot of sports talk in May. I get it if you're not listening to sports talk in June. Maybe you're not a big baseball fan. Maybe you just needed some time off. You're on vacation. You got other stuff going on. I understand. I understand people pop in, come in and out. I get all of that. I'm here to tell you that if this is your first time listening to the show, if this is your first time really kind of getting back into the swing of football, it's been this week. I'm here to tell you that not much has changed over the last few months with the Chiefs. Not much has changed. If the last time that you really kept up with this team was last year in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, you're not the hardcore fan that maybe you're not really up to date on the draft or free agency or any of that, and you just kind of start once we get there, hey, how we looking? Who do we have? I'm here to report to you that the Chiefs are not really that different. The biggest difference, and really the only difference in this team, is on the left side of their offensive line. And that's where I want to begin this show, because I think every conversation that we are going to have about the Chiefs over the next 4 weeks really stems from that. They are going up against some dogs in the early part of the season. They're going up against some of the best pass rushers, best defensive lines, best defenses in the National Football League. And that left side of their offensive line is going to be tested. Everywhere else, the Chiefs are very familiar. They're familiar at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, on defense. If you are the casual fan, it's not really going to take you a lot of time to kind of jump back into things, because the Chiefs are the exact same team that you've known and followed for the last 18 months. They're not drastically different. Where they're different is at left tackle and left guard. This organization is putting a lot of hope, a lot of belief into a left tackle who is making his NFL debut coming up later today. They're also putting a lot of that same hope and belief into a left guard who they gave up on and left tackle 2 games into the season and have now moved him over to left guard and has made, I believe, three starts in his NFL career. So I'm not here telling you that they are right. I'm not here telling you that they are wrong. I'm telling you we don't know yet. And what really excites me about this team and the discovery of a new season and the hope of the season is it's the discovery. It's the exploration. It's the finding out. And when you go up against a guy like Khalil Mack, who I don't think is a Hall of Fame pass rusher, but is a very, very good pass rusher. We're talking about a guy who at one point was maybe the best pass rusher in the National Football League. We're talking about a guy who was won Defensive Player of the Year. He's probably a Joey Bosa type. I don't think that Joey Bosa is going to the Hall of Fame, but definitely a pass rusher that you need to respect and have great respect for, who can really disrupt a game. What I'm really excited about with this team is the left side of their offensive line, we're going to know really early on in the season. And maybe you guys are going to be more patient than I'm going to be in this season. And that's perfectly fine. But when you've spent the amount of resources that the Chiefs have on their offensive line, I'm maybe not going to have the patience that you guys have. When you spend a first-round pick on a guy and you tell me from day one that you think he's a starter, and I'm hearing from former players that he compares to Trent Williams, and you're telling me that you think that he should have been a top 10, top 5 pick in the draft, I'm holding him to a high standard. It is now the second season for Kingsley Suamataia, and if he can't play left guard, then he's just not a starting caliber offensive lineman in the National Football League. You have spent a lot of money at center, a lot of money at right guard this offseason. The second highest paid player on this team plays right tackle. There are not many teams in the NFL who have spent more resources on having a good, capable offensive line than the Kansas City Chiefs. So I want to see that reflected in the pass game and giving Patrick Mahomes more time to look down the field and make plays. I want to see that reflective in the run game where the Chiefs can dominate and control short yardage situations. I also want to see that in their ability to neutralize some of the best pass rushers in the game because you got them coming up on your schedule. I believe Jalen Carter will play next week. We'll talk about his incident from last week in the season opening game. You're going up against a team in the Giants who have spent high first round picks on pass rushers. The Ravens have also invested in pass rush. The Chargers, they got Khalil Mack on this team. They got a couple of other really good pass rushers. That left side of the offensive line is going to be thrown into the deep end of the pool, and we're going to find out if they can swim. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. He is in Brazil. We'll get his thoughts as we get you ready for week one of the NFL season, Chiefs and Chargers. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. 4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing.
Oh.
From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate. Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Nate, it's back. Football is here. Oh, I got to hit the button. My bad. I got to hit the button. I was like, why is Nate not talking? Nate, how you doing, man?
I was definitely talking. I'm
That's
good,
my
man.
Fault.
I'm
That's
good.
My fault.
No. Hey, it's week one for everyone, man. No, it's great. Brazil's awesome. I'm down here on the field. I'm so happy football's back. So, happy to be joining with you guys.
I mean, let's get the most important thing out of the way. Do you think that Taylor Swift will be at the game tonight?
Everyone I talked to says it's possible. No one was, you know, for obvious reasons, no one's going to say, yes, Nate, she's going to be here, but no one said no. So, you know, I even wrote in my story today on, hey, like the Chiefs having so much popularity and Travis Kelce being the most famous guy in the league, you know, in part because he's engaged with Taylor Swift. Look, Mark Donovan said, a couple weeks ago that she was going to be at more games this season and that he did not rule out Brazil. So, again, I've talked to several people. If she arrives tonight, I will not be surprised.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor from ESPN. All right, Nate, there's a lot to get into with this game. This is how I led the show. These two teams have played 8 games with their current starting quarterback, Mahomes and Justin Herbert. 7 of those games have been decided by one score. The Chiefs have outscored the Chargers in the fourth quarter, 85-50. This game is probably going to be close. Most Chiefs games are close. The difference in this is kind of what the difference is in most Chiefs games. The Chiefs execute and just quite simply outplay their opponent in the final 15 minutes of these games.
That's so true, and there was no better representation of that than last year, of course, and that even includes a game where, you know, it was not Harrison Butker, ladies and gentlemen, but it was obviously Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, you know, figuring it out on third down, which led to a field goal that obviously doinked in for the division. So if you're a Chiefs fan, you hope that there's not that much of a dramatic finish tonight in Sao Paulo, but there's a reason why the NFL picked these two teams, right? The Chargers were obviously going to be the designated home team based on their marketing rights and obviously their connection in terms of logistics to Sao Paulo. And the Chiefs are the NFL's most popular team. They're the most watched team. They have obviously the pedigree. So I think for the NFL, they understand that this is probably going to be, you know, as good of a game as you could imagine, probably one that might be similar to when the Chiefs beat the Dolphins in Frankfurt, Germany. That game was highly anticipated, you have to remember as well. So the Chiefs normally do well in week one. They rarely lose. They've only lost once with Patrick Mahomes as their starting quarterback since 2018. So I don't think that's going to change, but I am fascinated to see if the Chiefs offense can get on a fast start and if the defense can withhold and withstand maybe a late push from the Chargers in the third and fourth quarter.
Nate, where are you at with Justin Herbert? We've had a lot of arguments and debate about him over the last week or so. This is where I am. At this stage in your career, for you to be talked about like you're one of the top 5 to 8 quarterbacks in the league, you got to have done more. You got to have won MVP. You got to win your division. You got to win playoff games. Like, you got to be able to hold something. And I know the argument's going to be, well, he plays in Patrick Mahomes' division. Well, Joe Burrow plays in Patrick Mahomes' conference and has been to a Super Bowl. Josh Allen plays there and has won MVP. Lamar Jackson, he is the least accomplished of any of the quarterbacks that we think are good.
Yeah, I can't disagree. And I know that, you know, because of his nature and his play style, he does allow you to enjoy the highlights. Again, he's one of the best quarterbacks at throwing the football, guys. What I wonder is Jim Harbaugh, is he going to be able to get the most out of Herbert? Because the true test was, hey, go to Arrowhead in prime time, beat the Chiefs. Now, obviously, we could say do that again today in Sao Paulo. But, I mean, he utterly collapsed in the Super Wild Card weekend loss to the Houston Texans. And I think people have largely forgotten about that because, hey, it was the first round of the playoffs. We all understand that. But Justin Herbert has not won a playoff game. He has not led the Chargers to a division. He and Ladd McConkey are going to have to do miracles tonight, and I'm very fascinated to see if Trent McDuffie follows Ladd McConkey for the majority of the game to set up Christian Fulton to be with someone like Keenan Allen for the most part on the perimeter. So when you consider everything, the fact that, hey, we just learned Mekhi Becton is dealing with an illness. Obviously, they don't have their best offensive lineman for the season. Hey, this is when your quarterback's got to lift all boats. And so I'm very eager to see how Justin Herbert performs tonight because the Chiefs defensive line will not be as healthy at any point in the regular season, Carrington. I'm pretty confident in that just because Chris Jones is healthy and motivated. You do have Charles Domenihue back for week one for the first time in the Chiefs uniform. You still have Mike Dana. You still have George Karloftis. Of course, you have the rookies and Omar Norman Lott and Ashton Gelati. Those guys, you know, one of them could deal with an injury at some point in the course of the season. So this is probably the best version of the Chiefs pass rush we're going to see early on in the season. So Justin Herbert's going to have to overcome plenty of challenges tonight, given how I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to sort of anticipate where the weaknesses are on the offensive line.
Which defensive line do you think has the advantage in this game? Because the Chargers are going up against an inexperienced left side of the Chiefs offensive line, and the Chiefs are going up against a team that lost their left tackle just a month ago. Whose D-line do you think has the advantage later tonight?
I would still say the Chiefs because they have Chris Jones. I'm going to try to simplify this, guys. If Mekhi Becton's dealing with an illness, Godspeed, sir, because it's been very clear to me since training camp, really early on in training camp, that Chris Jones has been highly motivated and a guy that knows, hey, I can get back to being a double-digit sack guy. I can be a guy that can sort of disrupt multiple drives in a game just by my sheer presence and athleticism and strength. So I would still give the advantage because the Chiefs have the best pass rusher. Now, that is not to slight Khalil Mack. I still think Khalil Mack is a above-average pass rusher. But look, I don't know how Joe Alt's going to look at left tackle. So that's kind of a wash when you understand that, hey, Josh Simmons is going to make his NFL debut tonight in a pretty unusual circumstances in an international game and a primetime standalone game. I would just say, hey, if you give me Steve Spagnuolo with Chris Jones, and again, a healthy defensive line as much as you can ask for, I would still give the Chiefs the edge in that department.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor of ESPN. Nate, you talk to a lot of people around the Chiefs. Are they more confident, or do they sound more confident in Kingsley now or than they did last season? Because last season, it was never a competition at left tackle, which would suggest you felt really good about Kingsley going into the season. They obviously ended up being wrong. They've kind of echoed some of those same sentiments this year. Do they sound more confident this year or last year?
I think they sound more, I wouldn't say confident. I think the word is not only just like eager, but I would say eager and like very cautious as to like, hey, we just got to see it, man. Like I think the Chiefs still believe a lot in Kingsley Suamasa'ia, but there's a time where you just got to prove it. And tonight is his first real go round. You've had the entire offseason. There are no excuses, right? You've gone through the entire offseason. You've played every preseason game. You and Josh Simmons have taken all the first team reps on the left side of that offensive line. You've obviously gotten plenty of time to talk with Patrick Mahomes and Creed Humphrey about blitzes, personnel. Hey, what's our silent count? Because that's going to be critical tonight. Because even though it's a smaller stadium, Carrington, these people are going to be loud. So it's going to be loud regardless of who has the football, because this will be a sort of a, you know, mini, you know, Super Bowl-like atmosphere just because, hey, Sao Paulo has plenty of fans on both of these two teams, which I think is interesting compared to what happened last year where, hey, they were just introduced to the Eagles and the Packers. These two teams are, they have much more of a foothold from my understanding in terms of, hey, fandom and actually being ready and geeked up for this game. So there's no excuses for Kingsley. Pass protect really well. I would argue that you should probably run the ball early with Isaiah Pacheco, sort of use his juice, his tenacity, get those offensive linemen in rhythm by going forward instead of going backwards. And then you can take your deep shots with Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown, and you can start to maybe exploit some of those weaknesses in the secondary of the Chargers. But it's got to start up front, and I think the Chiefs want to believe because, hey, you're next to Creed Humphrey, the best center in the league, and you're next to Josh Simmons, a guy who is immensely talented and has a lot more pedigree than you did at the position with that much, you know, pressure on you. They're cautious, but I think they're eager to see how he does tonight.
You mentioned Isaiah Pacheco. Let me give you this hypothetical, which seems like a very realistic scenario tonight. Let's say that there are 20 carries and I am subtracting anything from Patrick Mahomes that they don't really call design things from him. He just kind of scrambles and figures it out for his own. If they run the ball 20 times, how do they divvy up those carries between their four running backs?
Honestly, I would divvy up between two. Okay. Eliza Mitchell, we don't need you tonight, baby. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with the rotation. Carrington, I would get the sense that, hey, you should really lean on Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is essentially your third down short yardage running back. I think he's the best pass blocker you have, not named Isaiah Pacheco. So I would say of the 20 carries, I'm giving Pacheco at least 13, 14. And based on situation, based on red zone, third down, short yardage, hey, here's a nice changeup with Kareem Hunt, who can break tackles, who can run between the tackles really well, show some tenacity, some determination, you know, between the 10-yard line, you know, trying to get into the end zone. I think that would be a great scenario for the Chiefs if they could even have, you know, 20 or more, you know, design runs from the running back position, because that means you're controlling the tempo. You're still taking your shots when you want to. You're not relying entirely on Mahomes and, say, Travis Kelce to get through every possible third down situation to move the football. I get the sense that Pacheco is as healthy as you could have asked and has the experience. And look, he even told us yesterday, and I know this was not in front of, you know, Kansas City media. This is in front of an international, you know, more than 200 reporters from all over South America. But this man said, I'm on a revenge tour. And that was the most interesting and fascinating thing Isaiah Pacheco has said since the Super Bowl. So if that's the case, all right, let's feed the beast. Let's see how Pacheco does in this environment, and let's see if the Chargers can tackle, if they can rally and, you know, get through to that offensive line. There's a chance this year, guys, where the offensive line might be better at run blocking early in the season than necessarily pass blocking. So give Isaiah Pacheco 16, 18 carries, see how Kareem Hunt does, and that means you're in control of the game and you can milk the clock in the fourth quarter.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor of ESPN, going through some of the top storylines as we get you ready for Chiefs and Chargers coming up in a few hours in Brazil. I feel like Charles Omenihu and Hollywood Brown are almost in the exact same situation. Two guys that probably didn't plan on being back on the team on one-year deals, but for whatever reason last year, they had to end up coming back and signing one-year deals. Hollywood has never really been healthy in a Chiefs uniform. Omenihu has always kind of had a setback, whether it was being suspended, whether it was the injury, whatever it is. Neither one of these guys have ever got the chance to play at their A-plus in a Chiefs uniform. Who are you expecting more of this season? Is it Hollywood or Omenihu?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think that's so good. I'm so glad you phrased it that way, because there's an argument for both. I'm going to give the edge to Omenihu because you're further away from the ACL. You don't have to worry about, you know, a suspension. You know, he's done his part really since, you know, the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl, obviously, in the 2023 season when he did have the ACL. He actually came back sooner than the Chiefs expected and actually played pretty well down the stretch last year. He had a sack in the playoffs. So I think the track record mostly favors Charles Omenihu because, hey, man, you're going to get some one-on-ones, right? You're going to be able to attack from the interior on third down. Of course, we all know Steve Spagnuolo loves that NASCAR package where, hey, it could be Mike Dana, could be Charles Omenihu next to Chris Jones from a three tech from the interior position. I kind of love the idea that, like, hey, this is a contract year for both of these players, so it's time to really max out. That is obviously the phrase that Andy Reid has bestowed on the guys this year. This is the theme of the season. Hey, I need you guys to max out. That's the way we're going to get back to the Super Bowl. That's the way we're going to, you know, sort of reestablish ourselves, especially on offense. So even though he's not playing with Patrick Mahomes, even though he's not getting the ball, I still think Charles Omenihu can have a bigger impact on the team, because the Chiefs are going to need someone other than Chris Jones and George Karloftis to be effective. The guy with the most juice, potentially, with the most experience, with the most, hey, if you do well, you will maximize your value next spring. I think those all favor Charles Omenihu. For Hollywood Brown, let's just get through the first 4 weeks, man. I just want to see what you look like in rhythm with Mahomes, you know, going through practices, going through, numerous amounts of games. Like, let's just see it for a month, and then I can reevaluate it. There's only been a couple times, I believe, Carrington, where Hollywood's gotten through a full NFL season where you could say, hey, that guy's an NFL legitimate receiver. Well, this time, I just need to see it for a quarter of the season before I feel like I'm actually ready to evaluate this guy, because he did not play in the preseason. Obviously, he had his little ankle injury through training camp, went through his whole veteran, like, hey, trust me, Andy, I'll be ready when it's game day. Well, hey, today is game day, and if Hollywood Brown can be a serviceable player, kind of like how he was on Christmas Day against the Steelers, I think that's the best version you could sort of ask of him, at least early in the season. Then, hey, that's sort of cherry on top of the cake. I think right now this is setting up really well for Charles Omenihu to sort of say, hey, I'm a guy that can get you 8 sacks in a season. I'm a guy that can still do well against the run. And, hey, I can feed off of and work against alongside a superstar talent like Chris Jones.
Right now, we're going through some of the top storylines for tonight's game, getting you ready for Chiefs and Chargers. Let's remove Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown. Who is the player that you think is going to benefit the most over these 6 weeks with no Rashee Rice? I think it's going to be Tyquan Thornton. I think he's got a chance to be that DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle kind of role for this team and just end up being a guy that just has 3 catches for 35 yards, which doesn't sound like a lot, but could really be critical on some third down situations. My answer would be Thornton. Who do you think it could be?
Yeah, that's a great answer. I would tend to agree with you, right? I know Juju Smith-Schuster is more of a veteran guy. He's going to fill probably more of that Rashee Rice role to some extent, you know, early on in these first couple of weeks, especially when we'll see if Jalen Royals can come back, say, week two, week three, somewhere in there, and they can sort of get him some experience sprinkled along the way. But in terms of highlights, in terms of like, hey, could this guy work in the red zone? Could he beat one-on-one, you know, down the field like we saw in the preseason finale against the Chicago Bears? And, yeah, I'm going to say Tyquan Thornton more so than, you know, more so than Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, I think Juju Smith-Schuster will work better with Patrick on the scramble drill, on the improvisation. That's where he and Travis Kelce have really blossomed since that 2022 season. But, yeah, if Tyquan Thornton has one highlight tonight, man, will that do him a bit of good with Mahomes so that they can continue to use him more and more in the offense as the season goes along. I'm not sure how big his role will be tonight. I think he would still sort of rely on, hey, Juju Smith-Schuster's played in a lot of big games. He knows, you know, Rashee Rice's position. But, hey, if Hollywood needs a blow, if Xavier Worthy needs a couple snaps just to get ready, then, hey, you could put Tyquan Thornton out there and say, hey, can you run a nine route? Can you beat Asante Samuel down the field? Hey, if that could happen, Mahomes is going to put it on the money. And you know the Chiefs are desperate tonight to say, hey, it's more than just Xavier Worthy. We can throw the deep ball to Hollywood Brown, and we can throw the deep ball to Tyquan Thornton. So if that happens, there's a good chance that Tyquan Thornton really benefits from, you know, a six-week stretch where he can sort of see, hey, where do I fit within the offense? Where does Mahomes like for me to be? How am I reacting to the coverages if the team is still eyeing Xavier Worthy, if the team is still putting double teams around Travis Kelce? Then, hey, I'm going to get plenty of opportunities. The more you succeed, the more Mahomes will trust you. And we've seen, hey, all it takes is a couple times for Mahomes to say, okay, I've seen it now. It's not preseason anymore. It's not training camp. Okay, this guy's a legit guy for me. I can now use him the way he used to use, say, Justin Watson in key moments where you're saying, hey, there's a 30-yard completion to Justin Watson on the sideline. The same thing can happen for Tyquan Thornton. And at this point, Tyquan Thornton is the faster player, the younger player, and the one who can give you more explosion if everything goes right.
I got a couple more questions, and I'll get you out of here, Nate. The first one is, you spend a lot of time around this team. Do you think they hear the noise? There have been a lot of people who have taken a lot of shots at the Chiefs over the last 6 months, which kind of comes with the territory when you lose the Super Bowl the way that they did. People are now picking the Chargers and feel way more confident in doing that. The Broncos, they are not talking about the Chiefs like they are the three-time defending AFC champions. They're talking about them like the team that got blown out in the Super Bowl. Do you think they hear all of this?
They hear all of it, Carrington, all of it. These dudes can't hide from it, and I think they've been quietly awaiting to, you know, sort of rechange the conversation, to adjust that, hey, you guys have to remember us, right? We're still the Chiefs. I think a lot of that will be part of the motivation tonight. I think part of the motivation will, again, being on a world stage, the Chiefs have never lost an international game under Andy Reid, so they can keep that streak going along. To obviously grow the brand globally. I just think the Chiefs understand that, hey, the only way we can get to respond is we have to do it when people are actually watching us on television. Now, tonight it'll be on YouTube. But you know what I mean, Kerry. Like, you can't really say anything until the games actually start. So this will be their version of, you know, if you don't like what they're saying, you got to change the conversation. This is their first night to do that. I think Patrick Mahomes clearly knows what people have said about him. And he's wise enough to know, hey, I don't need to feed into it now, but I do need to say that, hey, I'm still the best quarterback in the league. I got plenty of weapons around me. We got this guy, Josh Simmons, who's only going to get better as the season goes along. And if the defense can continue to be accountable too, then, hey, let's see if they can get to Justin Herbert a little bit more than maybe we anticipate tonight. Let's see if a guy like Jaden Hicks, who's in year two, who's potentially the third safety and nickel. Hey, go make a play, right? You led the team in interceptions last year. If Jaden Hicks can take another leap, then this team has plenty to say because they've heard plenty since the Super Bowl.
Last two questions, Nate. First question is, how's the turf? How's the field? If there's one thing I know I can guarantee is that we will complain about the field because it will not be up to NFL standards. I've seen that enough in these international games. And have you seen any Chargers fan?
Okay, let's go reverse. I did see some Charger fans on my flight from Atlanta to Sao Paulo. Hey, like I told you guys, there might be just as much Charger fans here as they would normally be in SoFi Stadium, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but hey, that's the way it goes, kids. There are Charger fans here, and they clearly care, and I get the sense that, hey, because the Chargers have been building towards this moment for the last 2 years, hey, it's easy to see, hey, the Chargers have a good coach, good quarterback, that made the playoffs last year. They got a legitimate fan base here. Now, there still might be more Chiefs fans here because they're the Chiefs. In terms of the field, Carrington, it looks real nice, and here's the problem. They're covering things where I am on the sideline to suggest that it might rain. And boys and girls, that'll be the true test. It won't even be the pregame warm-up, which I'm on the field ready to watch, ready to evaluate how guys are cutting, because it was clear the Chiefs were not doing a legitimate practice yesterday at the local athletic club in Sao Paulo. But if it rains tonight, you know, do you have to change your cleats? How is it going to be from a traction standpoint? It's pretty cloudy, Carrington, and it was – I took a video earlier and put it on Instagram. It was gorgeous. It was really nice. It's going to be in, like, the 50s, and it could be some rain because, again, we're taking some equipment. People are taking cover. So the field looks good right now. I know the equipment guys for the Chiefs feel pretty good as where it stays, but that could change, obviously, if it rains.
Nate, if it rains, I'm telling you that field is about to crumble. Like, you and I both know that, Nate. Come on now.
It looks better. Roger Goodell made it a point yesterday that was like, hey, the way I will know that this game has worked from year one to year two is if the field holds up better. That is a direct quote from the commissioner.
Okay.
But also, man, I hope it really doesn't rain.
If the check clear, that's all that really matters, Nate.
Oh, check been in the account, my guy. Like, they're, you know, they're coming back next year too. I think you're going to see a sellout crowd. It's going to be loud. It's clear that Brazil can work for the NFL market, especially when you have, you know, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, you know, an actual really good divisional game. But yeah, they'll be here in I believe either October or November. It won't be the Friday night opener next year based on the calendar. But yeah, the check's cleared and they're gonna get another check next season, which will be hilarious. So guys, stay with me. Lord, please. You know, I mean, I can feel sprinkles right now, guys. It's if it's gonna rain now and get it on with it. But at the same time, they didn't plan for rain, Carrington, I can tell you that.
Oh, all right, Nate. Thank you so much for coming on here. We appreciate you with ESPN. Nate just told you he's feeling raindrops. That means they're about to have a slip and slide.
It's raining on me right now. I'm like 10 feet from the sideline. It's starting to sprinkle, guys. Not a good sign.
Absolutely. That's Nate Taylor of ESPN joining us on the show. I haven't seen one international field that they have had that's been able to handle any weather. You saw what it was like in Ireland. Remember with a couple weeks ago when K-State played Iowa State? If that field takes any amount of water, I'm telling you, it's going to turn soggy like cheap cereal and milk. You're not fooling me. Stop it. It's about to be a slip and slide out there for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Coming up on the other side, let me give you three bets that I like for today's Chiefs and Chargers game. I hit on the first touchdown yesterday, and I hit on Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown and a Saquon Barkley anytime touchdown. I'm here to help you have the success that I did yesterday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
All right, I'm going to give you guys a betting strategy. You can follow this if you want, but let me just give you a strategy. You are not using your no sweat bets correctly. You are not using your 50% profit boost correctly. So let me tell you what I did yesterday, and maybe this helps some of you out. You know that a touchdown is going to be scored in the game. You know that, right? You know that. So if you get a no sweat, just swing and you can do whatever you want, why not put that on a first touchdown bet? Because some of you are building these 4, 5, 6 leg parlays when you could just bet on one thing to happen. And if it hits, you get paid the exact same. So my logic yesterday was this: FanDuel gives you a no sweat bet. They also give you a 50% profit boost. Other betting sites are also doing the exact same thing. So why don't you use all of the sites to your advantage to give yourself a chance at actually hitting big? So yesterday what I did was I took two of the no sweats and I put it on rushing touchdowns. I took the 50% boost and put it on receiving touchdowns for the first one. So I had A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Javonte Williams, and the tush push to kick off the game. Best case scenario is what happened. I hit on Javonte Williams. Great. He's the starting running back for a team. Those guys score touchdowns. And worst case scenario is I got a couple no sweats back that now I can try the exact same experiment today. So I'm just trying to help you. I want you guys to win money. Trust me, these apps got no problem taking money from us. So let me help you out a little bit. Why not follow that same guideline today? You can get Omarion Hampton at +650 to score the first touchdown of the game. He's the Chargers running back. You can also take Isaiah Pacheco, or if you really want to get frisky, then take Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is paying 20-1 to score the first touchdown of the game. If he doesn't score the first touchdown of the game, you'll get your $5 back. What does it matter? Take a chance. Take a swing to bet 5 to win 100. Do that same thing on the other app. Now you cover yourself if either team scores a touchdown. You know they're going to score a touchdown, and you can cash in. That's why I'm here to help you. All right, let me give you the bets that I like for today. Isaiah Pacheco, over-under rush attempts, 11.5. He's our number one running back. I know that you guys love Kareem Hunt, and I think he is going to factor into it. I think you are going to see that the Chiefs, the reason they weren't very proactive in the market to go pick up additional running backs is they really like and trust Isaiah Pacheco. So I think he gets 13, 14 carries today, which is an over for you. So you can get that right now on FanDuel. His over-under is 11.5. It is at -130. I took this earlier today. I would encourage you to also take it. I really like the Chiefs at -3. I don't think you get burned on -3. I think you either get a push today and the Chiefs just win this game 27-24, or it's a winner for you because the Chiefs win 30-24. But I like the Chiefs to win today. I like him at -3. I feel like of all the times to take the Chiefs today, this is actually one of the safest times that you can take them and feel good about it. This isn't a big number where you feel like you get tripped up. And if the Chiefs just don't cover the 3 points, they probably lost and you're mad anyway. So I would take the Chiefs -3. That's a bet that I really like today. The other one I'm going to give you Noah Gray over under 17.5. I think you are going to see that the Chiefs are going to scale Travis Kelce back more and more, and they're going to use Noah Gray more and more. It's at 17.5. We're talking about 2 catches for Noah Gray. Can he have 2 catches for 19 yards in today's game? Well, of course he can, especially if you look at Mahomes, and now he's kind of spreading things around with no Rashee Rice. You're going to go to the guys that you know and the guys that you trust, and Noah Gray has been one of those individuals. So I gave you guys my first touchdown strategy. You can play these no-sweat bets all week on these apps. Take advantage, take yourself a swing, and try to hit on one of these 15-1, 20-1 first touchdown bets and get off to a good start. And my 3 favorite bets for today: Isaiah Pacheco over-under on carry attempts at 11.5. I love the Chiefs at -3. I don't really think you get burned really bad on the Chiefs -3. I'm also going to take over on Noah Gray receiving yards today at 17.5. Those are my favorite bets for today.
I don't hate any of those. I will say Pacheco carries is one where, you know, I think carries are a sucker bet. That's just me. I understand the logic on people take them. And listen, I'm no gambling expert. I'm not a shark back here just feasting on FanDuel's mistakes. So, you know, take my advice with a grain of salt. I always feel like carries is a sucker bet, but I like where your head's at, and it's hard to argue with you when you hit the way you hit last night on Javonte Williams of all players. So I will concede to the expert today, but Pacheco carries does feel like a sucker bet because it's so based on A, how he's running, because we do know they have a plethora of backs, and B, game flow and game script, which we don't know how that's going to go either.
I don't really think they have a plethora of backs. I think they have one other back. I don't think Elijah Mitchell is getting many carry opportunities. I don't think that Breshard Smith is getting a lot of carry opportunities in today's game. Could they throw it to Smith a couple of times out of the backfield? Sure. But how many carries do you think Smith gets today? 2 at the absolute most, maybe 3? So if you think the Chiefs run the ball 20 times in the games today, they give Isaiah Pacheco 14 of those. They give Kareem Hunt 6 of those. That's an over on your 11.5. I think you got to take it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to get to the border war between Missouri and Kansas. We're going to head to Lawrence coming up in just a bit. Let me make one quick point before we head to Lawrence. It wasn't that long ago that KU fans were telling me that there was no benefit in playing Missouri. I was here. We don't have to play this hindsight's 2020. I remember the conversation. You guys left. It doesn't benefit us to play you guys. It is okay to admit that we all just missed Missouri and Kansas playing each other. It is more fun. It is more enjoyable. The regular season has more juice when these two teams play each other. Yes, Kansas could have played another Power 4 school. Missouri also could have played another Power 4 school. But it would not get nearly the buzz, nearly the anticipation. It would not sell. It wouldn't do anything of what we're talking about. Now, some of it is they haven't played each other in a long time, of course. But some of it is there is no game that matters more to either side than the one that we are talking about. Missouri has played Kansas 4 times since 2011 in athletic competition. 4 times. They've all been basketball games. Missouri students have a chant in which they chant blank KU. When they're not playing Kansas, they could be playing Kentucky. They could be playing Oklahoma State. They just randomly start chanting this towards Kansas. That's what makes college athletics so fun. I don't know when we started worrying so much about how much money our school generates or these things that don't matter about to anybody. What really makes college sports fun is the bragging rights, is the back and forth, is the rivalry that you have between schools. It has always been about community. That's what we grew up on. The Big 8, the Big 12, the ACC, the Big East. These were all conferences, but they were also part of a community. And it is fine to admit that it is more fun, more enjoyable when Kansas and Missouri play each other. So no, it's not going to be like how it was when you were a kid. Very few things are like exactly how it was when you were a kid. But this is much better than you playing a random school in the ACC. This is much better than you playing a random Big Ten team. Yes, it is better for Kansas to play Missouri than Purdue. It is better for Missouri to play Kansas than Boston College. We all knew this, but somehow we had to lie to ourselves and convince ourselves that them playing each other is not cool. It has always been cool. It will always be cool. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to head to Lawrence, Kansas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Right here is The Drive. We're very happy right now to be joined in studio by a Kansas fan to get the Kansas perspective. That's who you are.
Okay.
The opposition is who you are.
Fair enough.
Happy to have you join us in studio today,
yeah,
my man.
I'm glad to be here.
What is it like to have this rivalry back from the Kansas perspective? This rivalry has never died from the Missouri perspective, like not even a little bit. It has not died one bit. What is it like from the Kansas perspective?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting when this was first announced that it was going to come back, and I'm going to kind of parse this out with kind of football being a little bit separate because they played in basketball now a couple of times already with it coming back. But I think football specifically, when you're talking about football, when this first announcement was going to come back, I think there was a lot of mixed thoughts from Kansas fans of like, oh, you know, those losers left, like, you know, screw them. We don't want to play those guys anymore. They left us, you know, they left the Big 12, whatever. And so I think there was a little bit of, hey, why would we reinvite this, reignite this rivalry? Because those guys left us, right? Like, who cares, you know? And I think even I a little bit shared that sentiment as well. But thinking about where things have come now over the past, you know, leading into the summer and kind of understanding that it's going to come back. And at least for me, the sentiment for me now has become, you know what, games like this are good for college athletics, good for college sports, right? Like these are the types of games that make people fall in love with college sports, right? And so I think having it back ultimately for me is a good thing. And you can tell that in the past week on the KU side, people are excited about it. People are fired up to play the game. There's no more of that sort of energy of why are we doing this? You know, I think everyone's now recognizing like, hey, this is games like this are good. Like it's good to have these types of rivalries and to have them be played.
Right now, we're joined by Nick Springer. He covers Kansas. He is the co-host of the Pay Heed podcast. I feel like Bill Self was a really big driving force in this. I felt like a lot of that sentiment was kind of We do what Bill says. Bill says this rivalry doesn't matter, so we will follow Bill. And once Bill softened his stance, and I remember Bill said it, hey, this is the most anticipated game on our schedule. Like, once Bill could admit that playing Missouri was a big deal, then every KU fan could admit that playing Missouri is a big deal.
It's one of those things where, it's like, oh, you know, we are above them. We don't want to play them. And then once you get closer to it, it's like, okay, now we're excited. Now we want to go beat them.
This is one of those things that I tell people. It is like, you had to have been in attendance to really understand. That Hurricane Relief game, I think, really reminded people of how important it is when Missouri and Kansas play each other. Like, I went in there, and I think a lot of people, like, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, I didn't really know the rivalry and intensity of it.
Yeah.
But if you got Missouri fans on one side and KU fans on the other side, and they are competing in something, it is impossible for those old emotions and those feelings not to come back.
Yeah, and when speaking to some former players this week about this, you know, I had a chance to talk to guys like David Lawrence about it and Tony Sands. And David Lawrence said an interesting thing to me where he said, you know what, if Don Fambro was alive today, I think he would want this game to be played, right? Given the circumstances, he would want this game to be played. And that kind of stuck out to me, you know, and I think that's kind of where that sentiment comes from is, yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something that's good for the state of college athletics, you know, in this era of college football realignment and the loss of a lot of these rivalries. Like, people got to remember, these are the types of games that get people to fall in love with college athletics and supporting their teams.
I interviewed David Lawrence for our upcoming documentary, and one thing I learned is there is not a human being that loves Kansas athletics more than David Lawrence. Like, he is through and through.
Yeah.
Born in Lawrence, went to a Lawrence high school, went to Kansas, played football at Kansas.
Yep.
There is not a human being that loves Lawrence, Kansas, and Kansas athletics more than David Lawrence.
And when it comes to this rivalry with Missouri, I mean,
He's very passionate about
it. Exactly. And, you know, he could talk for hours on hours about what it means to him. And he's got so many great stories, you know, of with Don Fambro, you know, about the different things that he would say of, I'm packing peanut butter sandwiches. I'm filling up on the Kansas side with gas. I'm not spending a penny on the Missouri side, you know, and I'm driving back immediately after the game, stuff like that. So yeah, David Lawrence is certainly, I think, a guy that really still encapsulates it, but that is an interesting also dynamic of this as well is, you know, you're talking about it now. It's been essentially a generation when it comes to football of this game not being played, right? A perfect example is a guy like Calvin Clements, left tackle for Kansas. He grew up in Lawrence, went to Lawrence Free State. He was like 4 years old when the last game was played, right? So what really connection does he have to it, right? So that's where I think it's interesting when it comes to, is that going to play a big factor in this game?
He's
going to
find out whenever there's 60,000 people chanting blank KU, like from somebody who's born in Lawrence.
No,
like,
I know.
I don't care if you don't know the rivalry. Not. If that many people are chanting that, I just don't know how you don't get mad.
I think they'll figure it out quick.
Let me ask you this. Saturday at 2:00.
Yeah.
Who has the coaching advantage, Missouri or Kansas?
I would say, I think Kansas. I think Lance Leipold's done a really nice job of kind of downplaying it, you know, and obviously he had a great quote earlier in the week of basically saying, hey, we want to be enthusiastic but not emotional about the game, which basically I think means you want to have that energy, you want to understand, but you don't want to let it pour over into the negative side of the emotions, right? And on top of that, he basically said, hey, you don't want to play the game on Tuesday, meaning you don't want to let that anticipation basically get you too hyped up early in the week.
And then it's
kind of a deflation when you actually get to Saturday and play the game. So I think he's got a really good manage on that of, okay, we want to make sure these guys are slowly building up throughout the week so that we get the A performance on Saturday, not the A performance on Wednesday, you know, during practice. So that's where I think he's got a really good grasp on it. But certainly it's going to be a challenge, right? And obviously I think this is going to be the toughest environment that most of the Kansas players have ever faced in their entire careers, and probably Lance Leipold himself as a coach also. So that's going to be a big part of it as well. But I think he's done a good job, at least as far as I can tell this week, of, you know, settling things down a little bit leading into Saturday and then letting the play do the talking, hopefully.
Who do you think has the quarterback advantage Saturday at 2:00? Because that's someone that to me like is a genuine toss-up. Now, maybe I'm putting way too much stock into what I saw, but I was at the Fresno State game.
Sure.
And I like the Jalen Daniels I saw from a couple of years ago. Like, I was at the KU game against Illinois and I was like, that guy can play in the National Football League. Yeah. Like, that guy can play.
Well, hey, go watch him elude Johnny Newton for basically 3.5 quarters in the Illinois game, who ended up being a top two draft pick. Absolutely. So the question for me, I think, when it comes to the quarterback discussion is, we haven't really seen Bo Prabula in a game where, hey, it's the fourth quarter, it's a one possession game, you got to go do something, right? You got to go make a drive. You got to go make a couple first downs to ice the game. Can he do that, right? We haven't seen him do that yet. And so I think that's maybe where you could look at Jalen Daniels with the experience of having been a part of games like that to say, hey, maybe he can do that. You know, if it's a one possession game, if KU's trying to bleed the clock out late, can he lower his shoulder, get a couple first downs and run the clock out. So, but I think when you look at just the two of those guys, obviously pretty similar. I actually think that we're going to see more of the option game from Kansas as well against Missouri to kind of really not let the Missouri defensive line take over, which is something that is concerning, I'll admit, with Kansas having to have two new starters on their offensive line. But, you know, with Jalen Daniels, I think the program kind of goes as he goes. And, you know, there's been some quotes about him in camp and leading into the season of he kind of has those game day eyes every day. Like there's some extra focus, extra motivation to him understanding this is his last year in college football. And obviously, I think for him, recognizing this could be a real crowning win for him and for the KU program if they pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the win. Like, I think if you're Jalen Daniels, you have had a very up and down, inconsistent college football career at KU. Like, there was a time that people thought Jason Bean was better than you.
But also, Jalen Daniels was a Heisman candidate at one point.
100%. I mean, your career will be defined by two games. People will remember Jalen Daniels and Lawrence if they go into Columbia and beat Mizzou, or in a couple of weeks they beat K-State at home. Like, that's how people will talk about you for the next 50 years if KU is able to pull off one of those two wins, or if they win both of them. Maybe KU doesn't go to a bowl game this year. They will be remembered because they won those two games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that you're right. It's a defining legacy moment, you know, because I think for Jalen Daniels, he has had a bit of an inconsistent career, and it's very possible that his legacy at Kansas may be a legacy of, hey, he was a really talented guy, had some big flashes, but ultimately due to injuries and whatnot, ended up not really reaching his potential. Versus you win one or both of these games, you know, maybe that puts Kansas in a position to have a discussion about the Big 12 title at that point as well later in the season. Like, then your legacy completely changes.
We always ask this question. Give me your Kansas wins if scenario. Give me your Missouri wins if scenario.
Yeah, I think for Missouri, it's pretty easy, I think, for Missouri. Missouri wins if their D-line just completely disrupts Kansas's offense from the get-go, right? Like, I think you'll figure out pretty early on if Kansas offensive line can hang with those guys, right, and not let them just completely disrupt whatever KU is trying to do offensively. I think Kansas wins if they play clean football. When you're in an environment like that, when you're in what's going to be the most hostile place you've played in, if you just play clean and you play smart, don't turn the ball over, like, that's going to put you in a good position to win. And then I think on top of that, I mentioned earlier, but I think you'll have to see Jalen Daniel use his legs a lot if Kansas is going to win as well. He's going to need to be mobile with scrambling. I want to see Kansas use the option. I hope they do that. I hope they do use the option, because I think that could be an effective weapon against Missouri. But I think that's another big thing, is they will win if Jalen Daniels is effective with his legs and is able to make plays on the ground.
That is Nick Springer. He is with the Pay Heed podcast, getting you ready for the Border War. I'm not calling it the Border Showdown. I don't even know what that is. It is a border war between Missouri and Kansas.
Yeah, you better call it the Border War.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nick Springer joining us on the show today. He is with the Pay Heed podcast. I will encourage people to listen to your podcast next week. I can't encourage them to listen to it right now. I just can't. That's not in my spirit
you know,
to
what?
Encourage people to do that.
I would expect nothing less, to be honest. I would expect nothing less.
That is Nick Springer joining us on the show today. We'll get back to Chiefs and Chargers next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. We are going to head to Columbia coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to be joined by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. I don't want to sound overly confident in this game. I think the Chargers are a good team. I know we have our fun. I know I'm Chargers. That's a team with a good coach. That's a team with a productive quarterback. That's a team that won double-digit games last year and made the postseason. I don't want to treat the Chargers like they're playing the Saints this week. That's a good football team. I feel like the only place to even have worry heading into this game is the left side of their offensive line. The Chiefs are clearly better than the Chargers. I can give you 5 years of data to back that opinion up. The thing that would worry me a little bit heading into this is none of us have a single clue of how good the left side of their offensive line is. I think I have a pretty good indication of everything else with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know how good their coach is. I know their coordinator's tendencies. I know their running back. I know their wide receivers. I know how they're going to respond and how they're going to make up for not having Rashee Rice, because I saw them do that for 13, 14 games last year. I know how they're going to perform on defense. I'm not even worried about them not having Justin Reed. If there is a position group that they could absorb losing a starter, it was in safety, because that's all they've done for the last couple of drafts is pick up Jared Hicks and then pick up Chamari Connor. Like, they have positioned themselves very nicely to get younger and cheaper at that position. The only question mark, the only hesitation that I potentially have heading into this game is the left side of their offensive line, is because I just don't know. We talk about Josh Simmons like a certainty, and I certainly get it. He was a very highly coveted transfer. He was a very productive college player when he was healthy. Man, we're talking about a guy who hasn't played football since last October, a guy who was coming off a significant knee injury, a guy who is still a rookie making his first start in the National Football League on a condition, a field that I don't think is going to be in great shape. We're also talking about a left guard in Kingsley Suamataia that, at least to this point, they haven't really found what his role is and the confidence in him. So I'm going into this feeling good. I told you guys, I would take the Chiefs -3. I feel very strongly about the Chiefs winning this game. But Rob, I do think we have to acknowledge, as we head into this game, man, there's only really one place of uncertainty or cause for concern in this. It's the biggest question mark that the Chiefs have had all offseason. I don't love their running back room, but I feel pretty good about the production that they can get from the position. Yes, it's not ideal to not have Rashee Rice, but they haven't had him in quite some time. I think they can manage not having him. We have talked about their offensive line or their left tackle situation like it has been an improvement. I don't know if it's an improvement. That's why I'm curious to see what it looks like today when we get to see their first live bullets, live rounds.
I don't think today will answer the question, because I feel like you need a larger sample size of O-line than just one game. But tonight will give us a baseline to evaluate what the left side looks like. I think that Josh Simmons is an upgrade from what they had at the end of last season. But I do caution Chiefs fans, he is a rookie making his first ever NFL start, and we heard Nate Taylor earlier, it might be raining on that field in Brazil. So it's possible that he has some moments where he looks like a rookie against a Khalil Mack type of pass rusher. That does not mean that the experiment has failed. That does not mean they made a bad draft pick. It just means there's a chance there are some growing pains, which is why I say I do not believe one game sample size. We know for sure the left side does or doesn't hold up. But I know this, if it looks better than the Super Bowl and that's the floor, that is an encouraging start to the season. There will be moments where Mahomes has to run for his life. It's football. Sometimes passers will get through. Even that 0-3, you know, offensive line, the Chiefs fans wax poetically about with Roaf and Waters and Shields. They gave up sacks that season. It happens. But I think if you can just see it's better today than it was in New Orleans, that's a great start. But Chiefs fans also need to understand there are going to be growing pains with Josh Simmons. And if they're willing to accept those, I think by January, the offensive line will look a lot better than it does tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I expect it to be better than it was in the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going up against the defensive line that they went up against in the Super
Bowl. That's true.
Like Jalen Carter, Brandon Graham was on that defensive line. Like, you had real dogs. I'm not saying that the Chargers don't have dogs. They just don't have Philadelphia's defensive line. And I hear what you're saying about small sample size, and I don't want to overreact, but I just saw the Chiefs overreact last year at small sample size. Like last year, if I'd come on here after the first game and say, hey, I think they're about to bench Kingsley Suamataia, the text line would have been in an uproar. Oh, you're just saying that, hot take artist. Man, it happened two quarters later. So I don't know if I can say small sample size, at least when it comes to one of their offensive linemen. They're obviously going to be very patient with Josh Simmons. They should be. They have made a significant investment in him. But you and I have talked about this. There is only one player on their team that I think is in danger of losing their job. There's only one. Isaiah Pacheco could fumble the first snap of the game. They're going to keep giving Isaiah Pacheco opportunities. They believe in Isaiah Pacheco. You're not going to be worried about a drop from Hollywood Brown. Like, you believe him. He's a veteran player. Christian Fulton. If Kingsley Suamataia doesn't play well, we will absolutely have the conversation on Monday if they are going to sit him heading up to the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. We will absolutely. It's impossible to not have that conversation because I saw them sit him last year in the second game of it. So that's why I just think we all are maybe on heightened alert and why we are paying attention to this more. And very different from last year, they have a guaranteed solution on the bench. If Kingsley Suamataia doesn't play well, and they made a switch at the end of this, I don't think anyone is going to be upset. No one will be frustrated because they spent $21 million for a player who we don't expect to play later today.
Let me ask you this, though, because you said they have a built-in solution to the Kingsley problem. Are we sure Jalen Moore is a solution? Like, how confident?
I think he is a noticeable improvement over Kingsley Suamataia.
A guy who's played guard for a handful of snaps at camp and has never played it professionally is an automatically better. I'm not saying he isn't. I think
Jalen Moore has proven that he is a capable starting player in the league. I don't think that Kingsley has shown he is a capable starter in the league.
That's
just
fair.
Based on the information that we have.
That's fair.
He hasn't played a whole lot of games. He got benched. He played in one, which was essentially a preseason game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, we don't know if Kingsley is a bust or not. He very easily could be. Now, he could end up being good. Maybe you put him at a wrong position. Maybe you played him there a little bit too early, so it's a little bit of a learning curve. But we don't have an answer on whether or not Kingsley Suamataia is an NFL-caliber player or not. I do feel confident that's what Jalen Moore is. Now, is he a franchise left tackle that you can put over there and not worry about? But, I mean, for you to step in for Trent Williams the way that you did and play the way that you did and then hit free agency and get the kind of contract that you did, the league feels like you are a capable player at your position.
I think he was a capable player at left tackle. I think it's two different things. I think he has shown the NFL he's a capable offensive lineman in the NFL. There is nothing about his Pro Football Reference page or his tape that shows that he is a capable starting guard in the NFL. It's possible the next best guard they have is Mike Caliendo, who was just, I mean, PFF didn't like him last year, but he was just fine last season. My point was this. I feel like Chiefs fans are going to be harsh on Kingsley, and I get it. He was terrible last season. But I feel like they're jumping to, hey, we have this perfect, ready-made solution at the position. Bing, bang, boom, slide Jalen Moore in there. Boom, problem solved. There is no evidence that Jalen Moore at left guard is a solve to the problem. It's possible playing Jalen Moore at left guard is the same problem as Kingsley. It's a tackle out of position who is just, you know, drowning at times. We don't know. He's an NFL offensive lineman. We don't know he's an NFL offensive guard.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. We're going to get his thoughts on the matchup coming up tomorrow between Missouri and Kansas. I want to give you guys my thought on what we watched last night between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm guessing that the rating was going to be a monster, and then just in the middle of the third quarter, we took an hour break between those two teams. But I'm assuming whenever we get the number, it did really well for the National Football League. It was a very fun and exciting back and forth game, obviously, until the weather didn't cooperate. Let's talk about the two big storylines from yesterday, and then we'll be joined by Gabe DeArmond. The first thing is, spitting on somebody is quite possibly one of the worst things that you can do. There is no debate in that. Punch me, push me, kick me. Spitting on me, you don't think I am a human. Like, that is one of the lowest, most disrespectful things that you could quite possibly do to another person. I don't believe that Dak Prescott was trying to spit at Jalen Carter or really spitting in his direction. I think it was just a thing that guys do. We all do it. You're walking somewhere, you just spit randomly. I don't know why we do it. We just do it. I think Jalen Carter took some offense to it. His emotions are running high. All of a sudden, him and Dak get into it. He spits on him, and it's incredibly stupid. Now, how the NFL handles this is going to be very interesting. I don't think they are going to suspend him. I don't really think that there is a basis on suspending him based on how they have handled this. This is not the first spitting incident that we have had in the National Football League. And every single time, he has just quite simply resulted in a fine. And he's already missed the game. Now, granted, he got a game check from it. Then just retroactively take the game check away, say that he's already served a one-game suspension, and then he moves forward. But the Chiefs play the Eagles. This is a big game. I believe the game is on Fox. If I have my who has the CBS Fox breakdown, you are not suspending maybe the best defensive player on the Eagles for this game. You're not doing that, especially when he already missed a game for this. So what I'm guessing is at some point here in the next 3 to 5 days, we find out that Jalen Carter got somewhere between a $10,000 to $15,000 fine. Maybe it ends up being a little bit more, but he will play, in my opinion, next week against the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't see him missing two games for this incident. Let's also talk about CeeDee Lamb. Maybe I'm the only one that felt this way. Watching CeeDee Lamb walk around and pat his chest like, my bad, bruh, we know it's your bad. Dak gave you an absolute laser, just dropped it. And then on fourth down, when I'm assuming as a wide receiver, you want the ball, you want to go out there and make a play, you alligator armed it. CeeDee Lamb had quite possibly the worst 7-catch, 110-yard game that I'd ever seen. He was phenomenal yesterday. He was also a major reason of why they lost yesterday. So I don't think that Jalen Carter is being suspended. He is going to be fine, but he is going to play next week against Kansas City. And CeeDee Lamb, I mean, just first-team FanDuel is what I saw from you yesterday. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of the stars of Armageddon at Arrowhead, Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, how are you doing?
Not bad, man. What's going on?
Doing good, man. Happy to have you on the show today. What is it like to have Kansas back into town?
You know, it's people, I think, are more excited than I thought they were going to be. There seems to be a buzz around here. You know, SEC Network's down here now. And I don't get me wrong. I think a good amount of that has to do with Missouri has a good team, and Missouri expects to win this game. And so they're probably a little bit more excited than they would have been otherwise. But, I think people are excited about it.
Yeah, I've always said this about it. You and I have kind of had this conversation. You know, you and I have had our Missouri and Kansas memories. And now I think it's time to let the new generation kind of have theirs. Where last year, Missouri fans stormed the court after a win. We'll see if they can be competitive going to Allen Fieldhouse. They play each other home and road the next 2 years. Like, part of this rivalry has to grow and transform because we got to allow the next generation of 17 to 21-year-olds to create those memories.
Yeah, there's no reason this can't be, you know, the SEC is going to a 9-game schedule and they're requiring you to play a power conference game other than that. Why can't this be Kansas or Clemson, South Carolina, or Georgia, Georgia Tech, or Kentucky, Louisville? And it's going to take a minute, but like now there are 25-year-olds who are saying, well, sure, of course Missouri's an SEC team. Missouri's always been an SEC team, at least as long as they've been paying attention. So, is this going to come back like it was for you and me when we were growing up immediately? No, but if you commit to doing this and if Bill Self allows it, you know, then 10, 15 years down the road, kids are used to this, and this is what they get excited about.
Right now, we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, I asked our KU guest this question. I'll ask you the same question. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, which team do you think has the coaching advantage?
I fall, you know, a different place on this than most people do. I think the coaching advantage goes to the guy that has better players most of the time. And I think, don't get me wrong, there are a handful of guys that I think can take, you know, a less talented team and win somewhat consistently. I've said for years, I consider Bill Snyder the best coach in college football history because he did it somewhere where nobody else has really done it. And I watched him, like, when everybody else was running the option, he went to the spread. And then when everybody else was running the spread, he went to the I formation and slowed down. So I don't know necessarily. I think Lance has done a really good job. I think he's a really good coach, but I think Drink's done a really good job here, and I think Drink has more talent to use. So I think he has the better team tomorrow. Whether that means he's the better coach or not, I don't know. I'd hate to find out that, tomorrow at 6 o'clock I'm getting ready to write about, well, this guy sure screwed it up for his team at the end.
Which team do you think has the better quarterback?
I think it's Kansas for now, especially if Daniels plays, you know, at the top end of his ability. Now, we have seen Jalen have some games where, you know, he makes a lot of mistakes. And that's one thing I did not see Bo Prabula come close to doing last week, but it was against Central Arkansas. I mean, I've seen Jalen Daniels do this against power conference teams, and I really haven't seen Bo do it yet. So I think I've got a default to Kansas having the edge there for now.
I was really impressed by Bo last week. Now, I understand the opponent that they were going up against, but it felt like they got a second chance at Matty Mock. Like, it's been a while since I think they've had some.
Oh, don't say that.
I saw an arm. I saw him running around and making plays. I was really, really impressed by what I saw.
like, why would you pick the worst quarterback Missouri's had as a starter in the last 20 years as the comp?
I just the way they're playing the style. And Mock, I think we all thought, just had a higher ceiling. Now, he had some off-the-field issues that I think derailed that. But, like, from a play style, Mock had a chance of being a good quarterback at Mizzou.
Yeah, but my issue with this has always been, you know, Matty Mock played with the best defense Missouri's had in this time period. And because of the team's record, and Matty wasn't awful, don't get me wrong, but he was not, like, he's below Brad Smith, he's below Chase Daniel, he's below Drew Locke, he's below Blaine Gabbert. Honestly, he's probably below Brady Cook. You know, maybe that's not fair, but, you know, I guess style of play, I can see what you're saying, but I think Matty Mock was chaotic, man. Like, he would drop back, and you just had no idea what was going to happen. And I didn't get that sense from Bo. I think Bo is much calmer and more measured and in control.
Right now, we're talking to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com. You mentioned the talent advantage and who you think the better team is. Like, from a player-by-player perspective, I honestly don't really think it's close between the two teams. And, like, where I think Missouri wins this game is, I just think their defense is going to play really well. Again, I know they were playing Central Arkansas, but just I look at a defense that just I think they can do a lot of things well. I think they can get after the quarterback. I think they can take the ball away. I think they can control the line of scrimmage. Like, I think their defense wins them this game.
I think their edge of the front, because I think both teams' question mark right now is the offensive line. And I think Missouri's front seven versus KU's offensive line is a bigger edge than KU's defensive line against Missouri's offensive line. And KU's linebackers are beat up. So, yeah, I agree. That's probably what it comes down to, you know, line of scrimmage. And I just think that they both have questions on the offensive front. And I don't think this Missouri team is what you want to face if you're kind of trying to work out your offensive line.
I'm worried about Missouri's offensive line. Are you worried about it?
I'm monitoring for sure. I mean, look, I planned all summer to pick them 9-3, and when they started doing the shuffle and moving everybody around, I downgraded that to 8-4. It was pretty good for most of the week last week, but like there were about 8 plays that were pretty bad, and 8 plays is too many against Central Arkansas. So yeah, I'm prepared to maybe need to be worried about it. It's not quite worried about it yet.
I just wasn't prepared to see Missouri's quarterback hit as often as it was yesterday. Like, you're not really thinking that your quarterback's going to be in a lot of danger. I know that he runs a lot, but this wasn't like him running and being careless and getting hit. This is like him dropping back to pass and him getting hit. That was the thing that really stood out to me and really startled me how poorly their offensive line played on those 6 to 8 plays you're discussing.
Yeah, and to be fair, he also ran and carelessly got hit a couple times, you know, which was – and it all happened right after Sam Horn went out. And we're just sitting in the press box going, who's even going to play quarterback by the time they get to October? Because he's not going to be upright if they keep this up. And to their credit, they fixed it, and it looked a lot better in the second half. But, yeah, those 10 plays are so really – I mean, they have you – they're in – I don't even want to say they're in the back of your mind – they're in your mind entering this week, no question.
What is your favorite basketball memory of this rivalry?
I mean, it's the two games in 2012. I've always said, like, if you just went into those buildings and you did not care who won, like, that was as good as college sports could be. You know, it was both of them won on in their home building in a huge comeback on calls that the other side will absolutely say were incorrect calls. And, you know, they were just as good as two games could be. And then you add in, I just remember in the Big 12 tournament being disappointed that Baylor beat Kansas because I wanted round 3 for the Big 12 title that year.
I went to game 7 of the World Series, and people always just think, oh, you're just saying this. It was more tense for the final because I never thought that KU would ever go back to Mizzou Arena. Like, I thought if they ever played again, they would just play at Sprint Center, and that's like, that was the last time. And Kansas won at the Hearns Center, and they were going to win the last game. Like, I never felt a building more tense than basically the entire second half until Denman goes crazy.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was as, if I'm making a list of like the 5 or 10 best things I've ever been at, either working or as a fan. They're both absolutely on the list.
I would say if I'm removing those two, I remember going back to school the day after Christian Moody and just, you know, that energy when you go back to, hey, you got to watch the game yesterday. Christian Moody might actually be my favorite memory of the rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, that was it was up there. There's absolutely no question. I would pick a game that Missouri won in Allen Fieldhouse, but, like, I've never been at one. So, you know.
Gabe, I'll get you out of here with this. Give me your Kansas win-if scenario. Give me your Missouri win-if scenario for Saturday.
Missouri wins if it plays a B game or better. Kansas wins if Jalen Daniels is Superman. I really think that's what it comes down to, because I think Missouri's better most places. But Daniels is good enough that he can win a game on his own sometimes.
That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show today. Gabe, I look forward to the game tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at Columbia. It should be a lot of fun tomorrow.
For sure, man. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning and looking forward to your doc coming out.
Absolutely. That is Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the show today. Gabe is a star in our documentary. Really excited for you guys to see it as we go back to 2007 and cover the game at Arrowhead between Missouri and Kansas. All right, we are off early today at 4 o'clock because of Chiefs pregame. We'll get you back to Chiefs and Chargers coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. I'm a little disappointed that we don't get our full show. I'm not the one that makes the programming decisions, but we got Chiefs pregame coming up in about 15 minutes. All right, so we don't have a lot of time. Let's get into it. We led the show today with this statistic. It is very important that you know this. Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert have gone up against each other 8 times. This is the 9th time that they have gone up against each other. 7 of those 8 games have been decided by one possession. Now, I know you're super excited about the beginning of the season. You bleed Chiefs red. I understand all of that. This game will probably be close. This is not Chargers Dot telling you this. I'm simply looking at the numbers. This game will probably be close. But what usually separates these two teams is how much better the Chiefs are in the fourth quarter compared to the Chargers. In those 8 games, the Chiefs have outscored the Chargers 85-50. It is not close once you get to money time between these two teams. That is usually the difference between the Chiefs and a lot of teams in the league. It certainly is the case in this one. If you look at Justin Herbert on his last drive in these games, they have only scored a touchdown 1 time on those final drives. The difference between Patrick Mahomes and all of these other quarterbacks and all of these other teams is these other teams think they will go down the field and score. You're hopeful. Yeah, we can do this. The Chiefs know they are going to go down the field and score and win this game. And if you look at why the Chiefs have been the Chiefs, it has been their consistency in high-pressure, clutch situations. Why the Chargers feel like they have been stuck in the mud for the last 15 years or so is because the Chargers are not good in these close situations. So seeing is believing, and until proven otherwise, if you are projecting a close game between the Chiefs and the Chargers, you have to take the Chiefs every single time. Vegas is telling you that they think on a neutral site that this is going to be a close game. They think it's a 27-24, 28-24. They think it's one of those kind of games. You cannot pick the Chargers to win that game. Where do the Chargers have the advantage? They don't have it at coach. They don't have it at quarterback. Do they have it at offensive line? Because their starting left tackle is hurt. Mekhi Becton, who they just brought in, he has an illness. Not sure if he's going to play. Where do the Chargers have a clear advantage over the Kansas City Chiefs? So if you're going by that metric, it's also the beginning of the season. It's also September. Chiefs get off to a really, really good start. I'm sorry. I got to pick Kansas City in this. I have not seen or heard a compelling argument of why anybody should take the Chargers to win this matchup. Now, football happens, right? You can't predict that. But if you're telling me that you think it's going to be a close game, I'm going to take the team that has proven to come up big in those spots. I'm going to take the team with the better quarterback. I'm going to take the team with the better head coach, the team that I think is going to be better prepared to handle those situations. 85-50 in the fourth quarter of the last eight games between the Chiefs and the Chargers. This game will come down to what most Chiefs games come down to. Patrick Mahomes makes one or two plays late. The Chargers do one of three Charger things at the end of the game. The Chiefs win this game 28-24, and everybody goes home happy.
I feel like maybe it's we call it, this is why fans call it the script. This is why these sorts of things happen. But I feel like we've seen this Chiefs game 8, 9, 10 times. The Chargers are good. I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're as good as the Chiefs, but they are a good football team. The Chiefs are better. It has been a long time in Chiefs football that we saw a team the Chiefs were just better than, and they went out and walloped them. Like, usually, it's the NFL. When one team's good, the other team's good. The games are close. It comes down to a few plays. The Chiefs are a dynasty type of team. They make the plays. They win the game. That is usually how these things go. With the Chargers, it's like magnified. You had the stats. Justin Herbert has had nothing but opportunity to throw on Patrick Mahomes. Nothing. He has the ball late, chance to win. He has the ball, hey, middle of the quarter, you're down by 7, go tie the game. Hey, you're down by 2, go get a touchdown and ice this thing down. He does not ever do it. There was one exception. It was 2021 at Arrowhead in September. There has been one time he has ever done it. It feels like the narrative around Justin Herbert as he falls short, and I think tonight we're going to see him fall short. I think it's going to be like 24-20. He's going to get the ball with 2 minutes and change to go and a couple timeouts. And people are going to be like, oh, can he go do it? And I feel like by 10:30, 11, you're going to be at home or coming home from the bar, wherever you're watching the game tonight, and you're going to say Justin Herbert fell short again because there's too much data that in those moments he falls short.
At this point, it's very, very simple to me. Twofold. If you think that the Chiefs are slipping in a way in the division, then the Broncos, Chargers, or Raiders have to prove it to me. If you think that Justin Herbert is a top five quarterback in the league and should be held in that conversation, then you got to show it to me. It's that simple. We do this all the time with the Chargers. We do this all the time with other teams in the AFC, other teams in the division. Now is the show up and prove time. We're done playing these games on paper. Oh, well, I think I project. No, that's over. Everybody has issued out their projections and predictions for this upcoming season. That's over. It's already started. So if you think the Chargers are ready to either pass Kansas City or be in that conversation as a team that can genuinely can compete for the Super Bowl, because I'm telling you, if you win more games than the Chiefs this season and you win the AFC West, we have to talk about you like you are a Super Bowl contending team. If you think the Chargers have evolved to that kind of team with their head coach and their quarterback, then they have to win today. There is no other argument. You gave up a home game to go to a neutral site in Brazil against the three-time defending AFC champion. If you think you're ready to compete at that level, you got to figure out a way to win today. And I don't want to hear about drops from Quentin Johnston or injuries that you have. That's football. That's life. You got to figure out a way to overcome those things and figure out a way to win. The Chiefs have mastered that over the last 5 years. The Chargers haven't. It's always an excuse. Oh, we got a new coordinator. Oh, this drop happened. We would have beat you if it wasn't for this injury. That's football. That's life. That's life. Figure it out. I'm picking the Chiefs to win today 28-24. I think they're just better than the Chargers. And I think they're going to execute late. I like Isaiah Pacheco on an anytime touchdown. If you want to take a little bit of a flyer, I take Hollywood Brown to get the first touchdown of the game. And I take a little bit of a swing with the no sweat bet on one of those. So good luck to you guys. I wish we had more time today, but we got to hand things off to the Chiefs Radio Network. I'll be back on Monday. We'll have a lot of football to talk about. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive. And until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.